Well, we've spent the last several months responding to God's specific word that He's given us here at Evident Life Church at the beginning of the year. That word is advance. He told us to advance, and we've been using God's word to figure out how to do that. Specifically, the book of Joshua. How do we advance? We need God's wisdom. We need to understand His strategies, His methods as we move forward in what He's calling us to individually, as families, and as the church. How do you want us to do this? And the Lord shows us right here. Right here. If you're wondering how to live life, you're wondering what God thinks about you, what he has for you today, tomorrow, the next year, it's right here. Get in the Word of God and in a place of prayer, ready to receive from Him, and He will speak to you and He will guide and direct you. Last week we were in Joshua chapter 14 and we were looking at the life of Caleb. And his life reminded us of the importance of faith and faithfulness. In fact, we saw that faith and faithfulness are tied together. They're linked to inheritance. That God has an eternal and an immediate inheritance for His people. And we experience that as the people of God, as we walk in faith and as we continue to walk our lives in faithfulness. That's God's way. Well, this week we're going to conclude our study of the book of Joshua, and we're jumping from chapter 14 to chapters 23 and 24. I encourage you, read the whole book and read it again and let the Lord speak to you and give you strategies of how to live for Him through the book of Joshua. We're jumping to the end. We're going to conclude our series Advance. And we're finding that as we're concluding that we're being reminded by God, cling to me. God finishes this book of Joshua with a cry, with a plea to His people, cling to me. Let's go to Joshua chapter 23, beginning in verse 6. Chapter 23, verse 6. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do. The NIV uses the word obey there. Be very strong to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. For us today, that's the Bible. Turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. Verse 8. But you shall cling to the Lord your God. Cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. Now check out this truth. One man of you, these are the people of God. God's word is true yesterday, today, and forever. God's character remains the same. His truths remain the same. His economy, His way of interacting with humanity remains the same. He is constant. Check this out. One man of you puts to flight a thousand. Why? Since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as He has promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. Okay, then. That's some serious stuff. I love how God doesn't beat around the bush. He gets right to the point. He's very clear with us. He lets us know what matters. And He's done that here this morning. He's done that in Joshua chapters 23 and 24. He's done that throughout His entire word. This is what matters. This is what life is about. It's right here in His word. When I read these last words of this book of Joshua, it causes me to ask myself, I'm asking myself this question, What am I clinging to? When you read something as straightforward as what we just read there, chapter 23, verses 6 through 13, you got to ask yourself, okay, let me do a little bit of a check here, a little examination of my life. What am I clinging to? Because it matters. It matters. The word cling means to hold on tightly to something. It means to clutch, to grip, to grasp, to clasp, to attach oneself to something, to hang on to something, to embrace and to hug. I want you to put this picture up on the screen. This is a boy clinging. This is what clinging looks like. It's a boy clinging to his daddy's leg. I mean, he's holding on to his dad. Look at that smile on his face. Isn't that beautiful? Who does he love? Can you tell? The smile, but also the clinging, gives it away. Who does he love? Who does he want to be with? He wants to be with his daddy. Where's he going to go? Well, the way he's clinging with his hands and his feet wrapped around his daddy's leg, he's going to go wherever his daddy goes. He's going to be stuck with his dad as he continues to cling in that way. I have three questions for us this morning. Three questions. First one is this. What are we clinging to? What are we clinging to? You only got one of two options. You're either clinging to God or we're clinging to the world. The world being the antithesis of God. The world being the opposite of God. The world being everything that is not of God. We're either clinging to God or we're clinging to the world. Let's start by looking at the world, what that looks like to cling to the world. Because apparently the Israelites had begun to loosen their grip on the Lord at this point. This is why the Lord is making this exhortation to the people of God. They were kind of loosening their grip, their cling to God, and they were beginning to mix a little bit with the world, to take on some of the world's practices as they were going through the promised land, and they're taking the land. And they're taking the land, and it's theirs, and it's theirs. Well, they're running into all of these other nations. They're running to these people who don't know God, who don't love God, who actually are the enemy of God. And they start mixing a little bit. They start getting engaged a little bit with what these other people are doing. And I'm sure as they're joining in on some of this reindeer fun, I don't know why I just said that, but anyway. As they're joining in on some of that stuff, it probably seemed pretty innocent at the time. You know, what's the big deal? This isn't that big of a deal. I know it's not what we're taught to do. I know that it's not really exactly what God wants us doing, but it's not that big of a deal if we just hang out over there a little while. If we just look upon those things just maybe on the weekends, you know, it's okay. It's not a big deal. But apparently, according to Joshua chapter 23 here, it's a really big deal to God. It's a really big deal. I mean, look at this again. This is the result of loosening our grip. Remember that little boy with his dad loosening our grip on him and starting to put a hand out over here to grab hold of whatever else is over there on the other side of the room. This is the result that the Lord is warning the people of God can happen. He says, "Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you." In other words, God won't fight your battles any longer. But the world's going to be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your side and thorns in your eyes until you perish off this good ground that the Lord has given to you. So that's a pretty serious consequence. And so I throw that out there this morning because it's God's word. And because we need to know God's word and we need to understand his economy, we need to understand that there is blessing and inheritance, as we talked about last week and really throughout this whole series. There's major blessing and inheritance when we're clinging to God like that little boy is, because he's going to take us to beautiful, amazing places. And there's really scary, bad, hurtful things when we loosen our grip from Him and say, we just want to kind of pop over here and grab hold of this stuff over here because it kind of looks interesting. And I'll jump back over to God's leg and cling to Him again after I'm finished with this, and it won't be that long, and we find ourselves, it's a bad situation. The Apostle Paul is saying this. He says it this way in 2 Corinthians 6. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. In other words, using the word cling that God gives us in Joshua 23, don't cling to unbelievers or anything in the world. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, because of that reality and that inheritance that we have as the people of God, he says in verse 17, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I want to clarify this as we're moving forward, that when we're talking about not embracing the world, not becoming part of the world, not engaging in the things of the world. We do live in the world, and we're called to be, as it was spoken earlier, the salt and the light in the world. And we need to go to those in darkness with the light and the love of Jesus Christ, not to engage in what they're engaging in, but to shine the light of Christ and to bring them in to the glorious inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. Okay. All right. So the result, though, of clinging, like grabbing hold of the world and mixing and engaging in the things of the world, again, isn't good at all. We read it in Joshua. We just read what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians. When we intermarry with the world and in how we live, inviting those little foxes of the world into our lives, the hand of God, it says in Joshua 23, becomes removed from us. He's like, I'm there for you. I'm there to lead you by those still waters. I'm there to bring you into glorious places, but you've let go of me and you've gone and clung to those things that are robbing and killing and destroying you. So what we cling to matters. Clinging to the world, the blessings of God begin to dry up. Our inheritance becomes death according to God's word. You know, in many ways, I feel like our nation is in the midst of realizing this truth right now. I mean, we're a nation that was founded by people who feared the Lord. People who wanted to honor God with their lives, with their riches, and with this nation. To honor God, in fact, on our money, in God we trust. You read the writings and the sermons. I mean, some of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence were pastors. You read the writings and what these men would say. This nation was founded by God-fearing men who wanted to honor Him and didn't want to have a nation that was a cesspool of sin, but a place that would honor God. But no longer. Let's just be real. No longer. Our president, our current president, has come out a few years ago and publicly declared that the United States of America is no longer a Christian nation. We're a nation that, for the most part, instead of fearing God, we really disdain Him, and we see that He just gets in our way of doing what we want to do. And so that what we're going to do is we just push Him aside. Separation of church and state. And to the point of, let's get rid of the church because we don't want to hear about Jesus. We don't want to hear about God's way. We want to do it our way. Instead of raising our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, I'm preaching right now. Instead of raising them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, I'm telling you, what are we doing? We're killing our unborn children. I mean, you want to talk about a 180-degree flip-flop? That's crazy. It's crazy. And there are consequences to letting go of God, kicking Him out, and clinging to all this garbage. There are real life consequences for our nation and for any individual who chooses that path. Just the reality of life. So clinging to the world is not the way to go. All right. But we have an option. The other option, really the only option that we have, is to cling to God. To cling to God. Because ultimately we're either clinging to God or we're clinging to something else. Jesus taught us this truth. You can read about it in the Gospels. In Luke 16:13, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." That's a reality of life. We can try to have our feet in both camps, but it never works. Check out this little video. Oh, bummer. We can try to have our feet in both camps. We can try to have our one foot in the camp of God and just kind of put the other one over there on that boat right there and just kind of put it there. And it seems like, oh, there's going to be no problem. And I can just pull the other one back and get both feet back over here on God's side. No problem. But it doesn't work that way. That is totally not how it works. Spiritually, relationally, eternally, and in every sense, the result is going to be what that lady just experienced. It's going to be painful as she ends up first doing the splits, and then she's going to fall. I doubt she drowned, but frankly, that's the ultimate thing that will happen with us. We'll ultimately drown if we try to live that way, a foot in both camps. So we're not going to be those people who do that. Let's not mess around that way. No reason for it. But what's the result of clinging to God? We've read about it in the book of Joshua, you know, week in and week out. Advancing with Him. Experiencing the promises that He has for us, the inheritance, the blessing. The result of clinging to God is life, is peace, is joy forevermore. And the greatest result of clinging to God is Jesus forever. Jesus forever is what we have as our inheritance as we cling to God. Hey, I've done the splits before in life. Not like physically in life. I couldn't imagine that. But I'm talking just in life in general. I've tried that whole thing, you know, of a foot in each camp. Calling myself a Christian, playing the game, going to church, but really living for myself. And it became very painful. And it hurt a lot to try to live that way. We weren't created to live that way. We were created for God and to cling to Him and to glorify Him now and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. Okay, question number two. How do we cling to God? We obey Him. Wait a minute. That's a four-letter word, Pastor. I don't like that word. And a lot of people think of the word obey that way, as a dirty four-letter word. As something that is somehow less than, somehow ugly, somehow something that we don't want as in our lives. And our flesh fights that little four-letter word obey. But it's a beautiful, beautiful word. Obedience, you see, is not simply the do's and don'ts of life. That's not obedience. Oh, there's a little bit of that involved in it. But that's not the core of what obedience is. Oh, at the core of obedience is closeness to God. Closeness to God. Obedience is the act of drawing near to God. What is obedience? Obedience is just coming into agreement with God's ways, with what His Word says, with His plans and His purposes. It's saying yes to Him and His righteousness. It's saying, yeah, I want you. That's all obedience is. Obedience is clinging to God. That's what it is, and it's beautiful. And the results are amazing. It's not a bunch of actions. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not some religious hoopla and things you got to jump through. That's not obedience. Obedience is being in love with God and saying, I'm all yours and I'm coming into agreement with you. I'm coming out of agreement with my old way of thinking. I'm coming out of agreement with the way the world thinks. I'm coming into agreement with you. I'm clinging to you. That's obedience. All the other details of it work themselves out. You'll stop doing that crazy stuff you used to do, and you'll start enjoying the amazing stuff that God has you doing. You heard these testimonies. People coming to Christ. People that are hurting all of a sudden showing up at somebody's door and them giving their lives to the Lord. Finding love and care and experiencing the love and the peace and the joy of God. That's real living, man. And that's what we get when we cling to Him. And that comes through obedience. Coming into agreement with His ways. The Lord painted this picture for me of and I went out on and I Googled to find something that somewhat represented it. This picture of obedience, of a child being snuggled in the arms of her daddy. That's what obedience looks like. That's it. Look at her. Isn't that beautiful? That's obedience. I don't care who you are in this room. You want that. You want that, don't you? You see that and you want that. I don't care how big and tough and strong and what a He-Man you are. You want that. And I'm sure you've had times in your life where you've shed tears desiring that. God wants that. He created you for that. He created you to hold you like that. He's longing for you to rush into His arms and to cling to Him and allow Him to cling to you. Drawing near to God through obedience. Finding His comfort, His peace, that shalom. The place we all long for. If you want to find more out about obedience, you can go to 1 John 3, 6 through 8. I'm not going to read it at this time. It's 1 John 3, 6 through 8. Let's be those people who choose God, choose to cling to Him and get what He has for us. You know, if we choose the world, we're going to get the world and everything it has to offer. And those of you who have done that in the past know that that's not a good choice. It's not a good return. But if we choose and we actually do cling to God, we're going to get God. We're going to get Him and all that He has for us now and forever. We don't have to live frustrated lives. I've been there, done that. Lived that frustrated life of a foot in both camps. Never really at peace in my spirit. Never really experiencing in true joy. I've been there. That issue in your life is resolved when you cling to God. And you'll get Him. And with Him, you'll get that shalom, that peace, that joy. That understanding that you're loved. Brings us to question number 3. What, or maybe better, who will we choose? See, we have the choice of who or what we're going to cling to. In verse 14 of chapter 24, jump to chapter 24 of Joshua. Verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. Now, these are two things that people hate. I don't want to fear. I should never have to fear, you know, or be in awe of anybody or anything, you know. And I really don't want to serve, and I shouldn't have to serve. Well, anyway. Fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, but as for me, you can choose who you want to choose, brothers and sisters. But as for me and my family, we're going to choose the Lord. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we're going to devote our lives to God. As for me and my family, we're going to cling to God. Because we want Him. We desire Him. We've experienced Him. And we want more. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What will get our first? What will get our devotion? What will get the best of our lives? Who are we going to cling to? Joshua very clearly determined that he would cling to God. The people of God looked around. They were reminded of what God had done for them. They looked at their options. When Joshua asked them this question, who are you going to serve? They looked at their options. They examined them. And their response was, you know what? There really isn't a choice. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. As I conclude, I want to ask the worship team to come up. We've been called to advance. You know what? Sometimes advancing is hard. We had a leaders meeting last night at my house. We were talking about that God calls us to advance. And with advancing comes change. You got to pick things up. You got to move. You know, if you've read that book about having somebody move your cheese, you know, who moved my cheese? You know, God's going to move our cheese when He advances us. And if you don't know what that's all about, just, you know, check it off to, you know, Pastor Eric and another one of his crazy things. But advancing is going to require change. It requires movement, and that requires faith. It requires trust, and it requires us living in the reality that if God is calling us to something, that He is enough and He will give us all that we need as we advance. We don't have to fear. We don't have to try to manage it ourselves, because if we do, we're letting go of God and we're creating our own future. But as we just trust God when He calls us into times of advancement and cling to Him, He's enough. But even beyond that, here's the reality of this whole thing about clinging. Jesus is worthy of our total devotion. Think of it this way. It's just coming to me right now. Jesus clung to the cross with nails. He was hung and He was clung, if I can say it that way, to the cross. He is worthy of our total devotion. He's worthy of us letting go of all this other garbage, of getting that foot off of that world and all the other stuff and clinging to Him. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of our all. He's worthy of our first. He's worthy of our best, not our leftovers. Not our leftovers. Not the few minutes that we are able to find in our calendar for Him every week. Oh, yeah, I got to give God some time. So let me kind of pencil Him over here after my whole schedule is organized with all these other things in mind. And then God is an afterthought. That's not clinging to God. It just isn't. He's worthy of us clinging to Him, of us waking up every morning desiring Him, of us waking up every morning grabbing His leg and holding on to Him. That's what He's worthy of. And that's what He created you for, is to wake up every morning excited for another day with God. Wherever He leads, whatever He calls, I am yours and you are mine, God. I'm holding on to you today. Have me. Use me. I just want to be with you. We were created for that kind of life, to be snuggled up with Him. And men, I know you want that. Men, I know you desire that. everyone in here, but I'm talking to you men, because the word snuggle just isn't very manly. But I know you desire that. You desire to be snuggled into your Heavenly Father at all times. Cling to Him. Give Him your first, your best, your all. You'll never be disappointed. Never. I want to give every one of us an opportunity to kind of examine right now. This is Jake's playing a little bit. I just want you to get with God right now. Just bow your head. Get quiet before the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you even right now. Be bold enough to ask God right now, God, what have I been clinging to? Am I clinging to you? What am I running to, God? Reveal it to me now. Show me, Lord, what am I devoted to? Who am I truly serving? Is it you, God? Is it you? Is it you? It's no accident that this is how the book of Joshua concludes. Because this is the paramount question that we have to answer as we advance. Our answer is going to determine our direction. Our answer is going to impact every aspect and area of our lives. The answer to our question of whom will we serve, whom will we cling to, will truly determine our destiny. I invite you to stand up. I want to give us an opportunity now, like Joshua did to the people of God, to declare today before God and before man whom we will serve. Are we determined to cling to Jesus? Are we determined to give God our total devotion? If we are, let's declare that verbally even right now. Let's speak it out like Joshua, with boldness and courage and a love and a fear and an awe of God. Let's make that declaration from the heart. Don't just go through the motions. If this isn't where you're at, don't feel like you need to say it. But if this is where you're at, where you've determined that you want to advance in your life right now from this day forth, not looking back, but from now moving forward, that you're choosing this day to cling to God, that I want you to repeat this with boldness after me. There are going to be three phrases. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will embrace obedience.
We will embrace obedience.
But as for me and my house,
as for me and my house,
we will cling to Jesus.
We will cling to Jesus.
Amen. Stay standing and let's sing it now.
Let's sing, Lord, I give you my heart.